Please open your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 25. Galatians 5, 13 to 25. The review, really short, chapters 1 and 2, Paul defends himself and his gospel against the accusations of the Judaizers. Chapter 3, the first 14 verses, he told them, like Abraham, you were declared righteous by faith and not by the law. In chapter 3, verses 15 to chapter 4 and verse 7, the law was not a way of salvation for the Jews, and it could not then be a way of salvation for the Gentiles either. And we talked about the purpose of the law in that lesson. In chapter 4 and verse 8 to chapter 5 and verse 12, last time, now that you know God, why should you place yourself under any rules now, any laws? The rules of the Jews, particularly the rules of the Judaizers, they didn't need to get circumcised. If you're free, if you've accepted Christ and you have salvation, then you don't need salvation. There's nothing you need to do to have it. You already have it. That was Paul's message to them. Tonight we move into the last section of the epistle and into some practical application of the truths that we have been studying up to this point in Galatians. Galatians is a hard book to preach. It's a hard book to listen to. It's got some rather deep spiritual truths in it. But I hope that you have gleaned from the messages and from your own reading of the Scriptures, gleaned some of these truths out and made some applications to yourself or for yourself of them. The Galatians were free in Christ. That's what Paul wanted them to know. You don't need to be under the thumb of the law. You're free in Christ. Christ made you free. And you are gloriously saved by grace and through faith alone. And you don't need anything else. Christ is sufficient all by himself, he told the Galatians. They were free from the condemnation of the law, from death and hell, and fear of the grave. But the human tendency was, and still is, when we realize we're free, sometimes it's easy to let the pendulum swing too far back the other way. And so that's sort of where Paul goes with this. Okay, you're free. You don't have to do this and this and this. So you're free in Christ. And then he offers them this warning tonight, a warning not to let the pendulum swing too far back in the other direction. They could, in their freedom, consider only themselves, a condition that would find its fulfillment in satisfying the flesh. If it's about me and what I want and what I desire and my ambitions, then well, that would involve the appetites of the flesh. And so he warns them about this. And I would warn us about it too. You know, you sort of have to pick your master. You're free, but God made you to serve. He made us to be servants, but he gives us the privilege of picking our master. You can serve the flesh or you can serve the Lord. And that's basically the message of tonight in these verses, in chapter 5 and verses 13 to 25. Let's launch in there at verse 13, chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So, a couple of things. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Salvation was their deliverance from the condemnation of the law, as we have said. They were not obligated to keep any list of rules, as we've already said, in order to be justified, to somehow please God by doing certain things. No, you please God by obeying the gospel, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you're free. So Paul issues this warning, only use not liberty. Don't use your freedom as an occasion to the flesh. One commentator says, this freedom that belongs to the Galatians and to us is like inheriting a great sum of money. Have you ever thought about inheriting a great sum of money? Somehow you come into a millions of dollars, perhaps. If the money's used properly, it's a blessing. But money can also be a curse. Ask some of those who won the lottery, ended up with millions and millions of dollars. They were suicidal. They said that was the worst thing that ever happened to them in their life. If it's used improperly, it would prove to be a curse. The freedom is like becoming a great king. You can be a great king and act kingly and kindly, or you can become a tyrant if you're a great king. You see, you have choices to make. You have responsibilities that come with freedom. Freedom comes with responsibilities. And he says, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's the alternative. You can either live for yourself or you could live for others and serve others. This love is a part of the believer because the indwelling Holy Spirit produces that, right? It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, as we'll see tonight. According to this verse, our love is manifested when we serve one another. By love, serve one another, he says. The Greek sort of makes some things more obvious sometimes when we read. This is called the dative case in the Greek. It has an indirect object. So what I mean by that is we are to slave for each other rather than a genitive case, which shows possession and closeness. It's not that we're supposed to be slaves of each other. We're supposed to slave, that's the verb, for each other. We're supposed to be servants and help each other and love each other. Amazingly, while we slave one for the other, by love, we fulfill the law that we couldn't touch before we accepted Christ. We were not able to fulfill any part of the law before we were made free. So sort of an interesting thing. People work to be saved by keeping the law, and they find out it only condemns. We've been made free from the law, free to love one another, free to serve a different master, and that love that we can exhibit and pour out of our lives toward others, that love helps us to be able to do things we couldn't do when we walked and lived under the law, or when the Jews did. Verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." All the law is fulfilled in this: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law? Do you remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the fourth, thou shalt remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the holy day. There are four of them on the first tablet, we say. And then there are six others that have to do with our horizontal relationships, probably the second tablet that Moses carried down off Mount Sinai. Remember, the Sabbath day was the last we spoke of. And then the six: honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Ten commandments. So Paul is saying if the Galatians would serve one another in love, they would honor their father and mother, right? If you're loving, you'll honor your father and mother. You'll not kill each other. You'll not commit adultery. You'll not steal. You'll not lie one to another. And you won't covet each other's thing because of love. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you love somebody, you don't do those things toward them and against them. But there are those other four commandments, the four laws that pertain to our vertical relationship, our relationship with God. How would loving one another fulfill those laws? Well, the answer to that is because loving one another is inseparably linked to loving God. inseparably linked to loving God. I want to read a little portion of Scripture from 1 John 4, verses 7 to 13. Listen carefully to this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. So you see, loving is of God. And if we love others, if we love each other, it's an evidence, so says the Scripture, that we love God. And if we love God, it will be natural for us to love one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So the Galatians' love one for another would be evidence of their love for the Lord. And if the Galatians love the Lord, they would have no other gods before Him. If they love the Lord, they would not make graven images for themselves. They would not speak His name in vain, and they would keep His day holy. The Sabbath day would keep it holy. So perfect love really does fulfill all the commandments. Jesus taught that. Do you remember in Matthew 22? In Matthew 22, He said, they asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. See, the Lord Jesus taught those things too. On these two commandments, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the laws of the prophet. If you love God, you'll keep the first four commandments. If you love your neighbor, you're going to keep the last six commandments. But as free men, these Galatians would have to make a choice. They've got to decide who's going to be their master. And so this section here, 13 to 25 in chapter 5, these verses are about their choice. Who are you going to serve? What are you going to do? The Lord or the flesh? Paul warns in verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So the imagery is like a wild beast. He attacks somebody and kills them for food, perhaps. When in their freedom, the believers at Galatia do not serve God and don't love one another, they will inevitably serve self and sin. And they'll devour, they'll consume one another, he says. So just in summary, as free men, we can choose to live to satisfy the flesh, and that'll cause us to devour one another. If you're selfish, you're not going to care about me. And if I'm selfish, I'm not going to care about you. But if I love you, then I'm going to keep the six commandments that would have the effect that God desires on our relationship together. That would be one way. And if you loved me back, if it was reciprocal, then we'd get along fine forever, wouldn't we? As free men, we can choose to live to satisfy the flesh, but it'll cause us to devour one another. As free men, we can choose to be servants of God and Christ for others, and we'll fulfill the law like we never were able to do before we were made free. Interesting. I wonder if you're interested. Are you interested? If you're interested in this whole concept of loving God and loving others so that you can please God by keeping the commandments of God, here's how you can make it happen. Verse 16. This I say then, if you're interested, if you want to please God, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Walk in the Spirit. When you were born into this world, you received a nature. We call it the old nature. It's the fleshy nature. It's selfish. You can see it in babies. They want to eat when they want to eat. They want to be changed when they want to be changed. They want what they want. They want it now. It's the human nature. We grow up and we have to learn how to sort of suppress that nature so we can get along with other people. But it's there. We have that. We're born with that old nature. And then we're born again. We're born again and we get another nature, a spiritual nature. You were dead spiritually. You had only one nature before you were saved. But now you're alive in Christ and have two natures. These two natures are contrasted in these verses. And we're going to see it as we continue toward the end of our time together tonight. They're contrasted here. Generally, and certainly in this text, generally the King James Bible capitalizes the word pneuma, which is spirit, translated spirit. It capitalizes, making us think about the Holy Spirit. And I've said this before, the Holy Spirit and the spirit nature of a new man resulting from the new birth, they're inseparable. The Spirit is alive in our hearts and He works, but we can't neglect the fact that we have a new nature. We were dead spiritually, now we're alive spiritually. And the Spirit of God is at work in that new nature of ours, our new nature, and causing us to do certain things and not do other things. The Holy Spirit and the spiritual nature of man resulting from the new birth, though, are inseparable. They're inseparable. So, we do no damage, no harm to the Scriptures and to the text we're looking at tonight to think of our new nature as the spirit realm. There's the spirit side of us and the flesh side of us. That's in the Scriptures, many times in the Scriptures. And so we do the Scriptures no harm by sort of seeing that in this text, even though there's a capital S. I don't want you to think I'm trying to take the Holy Spirit out of the picture, because we would have no power to do anything except for the Spirit. But this verse says that we should walk according to that new spiritual nature rather than according to the old fleshy nature. Makes sense, doesn't it? Walk according to the spirit nature. They're intended, the spirit and the flesh, are intended to be mutually exclusive. So if you are living in submission to the new spirit nature, then you won't be living in submission to the old fleshy nature, right? Because they're the opposite. If one is on the throne, the other is not. The two are contrasted here, as I said, in the rest of this chapter. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, certainly against the Holy Spirit, but against our own spirit nature as well, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Our two natures contend with each other. There's a tug of war going on inside of us, in our hearts and in our minds. Paul speaks of that very contention for himself over in Romans chapter 7. I want to read a little bit of that if you want to look at it. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. 7:15 to 25. So several verses here. Let me just read. Listen to the struggle that's going on within in this passage. I'm glad it's there. If Paul struggled, If he had this tug of war, I believe he had victory over it. Certainly he did in this passage that we're about to read. But it's a common thing. There's two natures there, and there's a way to give preference and precedence to the new nature over the old. Listen to this, verse 15 of Romans 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Do you hear the two natures there? He wants to do this and he can't. He wants to not do this and he does. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I do, or for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So there's the two natures. Paul's telling the Galatians, those Judaizers are telling you that you need to do this and this to please God and to know God. God won't be happy unless you're divorced, unless you're circumcised. God will not be happy with you. And he's telling them that's not true. That's a lie. God does not intend for you to live under the Jewish rules, the laws that were a tutor to them, until the Lord Jesus came and fulfilled the promises that were made to Abraham. And you don't need to do those things. You're free. You're free. And tonight in this portion, he's telling them, now you're free, but be careful, because if you're not careful, you're going to allow the pendulum to swing back to the other side. And rather be servant to the law and to the works of the law, you're going to be a servant to yourself. You need to be careful what you do. Don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, he told them. But rather, serve one another in love. If you do that, you'll keep all of the fifth through the tenth commandments. And if you love one another, well, that love is inseparably linked to your love for the Lord. And if you love the Lord, then you'll keep the first four commandments. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. The first and great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the second, to love thy neighbor as thyself. If you'll do that, you'll please the Lord by your actions. But you don't have to do anything to be saved. You're saved because of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Going back to our text, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So Paul's, again, tying the thought back to the theme of the epistle, the law versus grace. To be bound to the dictates of the law means that you're not led by the Spirit. You're not led by the Spirit, but by the dictates of the law. And that's not any good, because the law only condemns, doesn't it? Our spiritual nature is the result of grace. And we need to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh, not according to the dictates of the law. So how does somebody know if you're walking? You're walking according to the old fleshy nature. How would they know? How would you know? Or how would you know if you're living according to the new spiritual nature? Paul answers that in a very practical way, beginning in verse 19. He says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then he names them. You want to know if you're walking in the flesh? Here are the works of the flesh. Here are the things that the flesh nature manifests itself in. When a person is living according to the dictates of the old fleshy nature, these are the evidences of that walk. Some people have suggested that they're categories of these works of the flesh. They would say in verse 19, they're the moral purity group, they would call them. There are four of them. Adultery, that's immorality among the married. Fornication is all sorts of illicit or unlawful moral perversions. Fornication. You want a good illustration of that? Watch the news tonight before you go to bed. It's everywhere. Fornication. Uncleanness is moral evil sensuality, and lasciviousness is unbridled lust. Those are evidences that a person is living according to the flesh, the old nature, which is most of our country, right? Most of the world at this point. Following the dictates of the flesh, they live for themselves. That certainly should not be, that should not be our case, should it? So the morality group, you get to verse 20 and you have the spiritual purity group, someone has called it, the idolatry. That's worship of false gods and idols and the immorality that goes along with that. They might be, the Galatians might be tempted with idolatry by their past experiences in paganism. They used to worship in those temples of the idols. They might be tempted by the Roman pagan feasts, even though they have accepted the Lord Jesus. So that would be, if they end up falling prey to that, that would be an evidence that they're letting the flesh, the old nature, call the shots. And then there's witchcraft. Pharmakeia has to do with drugs, because drugs were used in sorcery and the magic arts of that day. We get our word pharmaceutical from that same word, or pharmacy. Then there's the, still in verse 20, the individual group, like hatred. That's enmity, strong feelings of malice toward others. You ever have problems with anger toward others? Variance is discord, contention, and strife. Emulations is distrust and suspicion. Emulations, suspicious of others. And then wrath, just hot, passionate anger. Those sort of fall into a group. And then there's the party group, still in verse 20. The party group would include strife. That's a competitive spirit, a desire to be number one. I'm better than you. I remember that bumper sticker said, "I may be slow, but I'm ahead of you." Put it on the back bumper. Seditions, divisions caused by disagreement. There are heresies, divisions caused by self-willed opinions, heresies. And then envyings, displeasure at the success of others. You make me angry. I don't like you because you succeed and I don't. That would be like envyings. We are in verse 21 now. The social ills group, somebody said. Murdering, that's just killing. Murdering someone. Drunkenness is intoxication. Revelings, riotous gatherings for entertainment. Riotous gatherings for entertainment. Don't have to go too far to find those either, do we? There's evidence all around us that most people follow the dictates of the flesh. They live for themselves. They serve themselves. He says in verse 21, "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's evidence they're not saved. They're not following the new nature. These are all evidences of the control of our fleshy nature. Sort of reminds us of Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They live in the realm of that new spirit nature that God has given them. And then there are the evidences that one is walking according to the new spirit nature, given here, beginning in verse 22. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in a child of God. The fruit that would be evidence that you will produce in your life, or that will be produced in your life. toward others. It starts off with love. The word is agape, a desire or a delight in the well-being of another person, even if it cost you. Even if it's not reciprocated, to love somebody, to purpose their good, even if it's not necessarily going to accomplish anything for you. Love, joy. Joy is the ability to look on the supernatural, bright side of things, to find whatever it is sufficient. It's based on the promises of God and spiritual realities that we read about in the Scriptures. It's not connected to the circumstances. We need to remember that. Our joy is not connected to the circumstances. If you have the Spirit of God living in you and you have this new spirit nature, then you can be joyous in spite of the circumstances. Your joy is based on something other than the circumstances. He mentions, thirdly, peace. That's the knowledge and the feeling that everything's okay. Confident in one's relationship with God. Again, it's not dependent upon the circumstances to have peace. I've discovered that a lot in the last year and a half. Because I've been really disappointed with where we've gone as a nation. Have you been really disappointed? And I didn't have peace about it. I worried, I fretted over it, and then I had to realize, well, I believe in God and country, but they don't necessarily have to be connected. God first, His plan, His principles, His precepts, His promises, there's where my peace comes from, and the joy that I can have in serving, and you. He says in the next place here, number four, long-suffering. That's to stay with it even when the going gets tough. Patient endurance when injured by others or inflicted with painful circumstances, to just hang in there. Long-suffering. Gentleness is the ability to put others at ease, to treat them with tenderness. Faith, well, that's putting what you believe to work for you, what you believe pertaining to God. And temperance is self-control or restrained passions. He says in the end of verse 23, against such there is no law. These are all in keeping with the fulfillment of the law. The law, there are no laws against these. No law could condemn the spiritual perfections produced within the soul of a believer. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. People who belong to Christ have crucified. That's past tense, isn't it? They have crucified. It's not passive either, like Galatians 2:20 or Romans 6:6. There's a crucifixion that we've undergone in those passages. It's like a positional truth. I'm in Christ, therefore my old man has been crucified. So this is not like that. This is an active, a crucifixion which we have performed once for all in the past. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we killed the flesh. We decided to take a new master. It's the same as Romans when it says that we should die to sin. Once for all, die to sin. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul said. So it's something active, something we do in the past. It's also something passive, something God's done for us, positionally speaking. There's a sense in which we continually die to ourselves, isn't it? We continue to mortify our flesh. Romans says that in Romans 6:11 and 8:13. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25 says, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If we do live in the Spirit, since our flesh was killed at our conversion, then we'll be right before God. We'll be right before God. Let us walk, he says in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. sort of a military, marching orders to keep in step by the aid of our new spirit nature, by the aid of the Spirit of God who loves us and lives within us. So, in summary, I could say to each of you tonight who know the Lord, you have two natures. You have a flesh nature. You were born with that physically. It's the old nature. It's a sin nature. It cares about self. And then you have been born again, and you have been born into the family of God, and He gave you another nature, a spirit nature. You were dead spiritually before in your trespasses and sins, and now you're alive unto God, a new life. And the Spirit of God has come to help you and to teach you and to tutor you in the things of the Lord. You've crucified the one, and you should walk in the other. Crucify the old man, walk in the new man. Mortify the deeds of the flesh, listen and walk in the spirit realm. That's what Paul told the Galatians. He told them that because he was afraid that when they got out from under the thumb of the Judaizers, they might go too far to the other side of the spectrum and they would start living for themselves. If they don't have anything that they have to do for God, maybe they'll just allow themselves to be their own masters. Not a good idea. Not a good idea at all. Certainly for us as much as for the Galatians. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Pray your blessing upon it. Tonight, Lord, help us to get the gist of this book of Galatians, to make the application, Lord, that we need to make. And for me, for us tonight, Lord, I pray that we would mortify the deeds in the flesh. Lord, when we got saved, we decided that we didn't want our sin anymore. We didn't want to live in it. We wanted to repent of it. And we wanted to be saved from our sins. And we accepted the mortification of our flesh that was ours in Christ, because He died so that our old man would be crucified. And I'm crucified in it with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Lord, help us to live according to our new spirit nature. Help us to live according to the dictates of your Spirit who lives within our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen.